You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings practice begins today in Orlando, Sacramento's mandatory 36 hours of quarantine in their hotel rooms at Walt Disney World is just about up. The Kings will be able to take to the floor this afternoon and this evening and start their training camp getting ready for the start of the season. On today's Locked On Kings podcast, we are collaborating with Jeff Garcia from Locked On Spurs. Of course, the Kings and the Spurs will meet for the first game of this eight-game sprint. Both teams looking to catch the Grizzlies and steal that eighth seed away. It's a very important game right out of the gate. We'll be previewing it in all its detail right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off-season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. The privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 5 years. This is my sixth season covering the Kings, both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter, and I'm proud to be a part of this Locked On Podcast Network. One of the coolest parts of this podcast network, from at least an NBA standpoint, is that we have a local podcast for every single NBA team, as well as national NBA podcasts, and I always encourage listeners to go and listen to the local podcasts for all the other teams, because it's basically like getting a scouting report. You can get an idea of what these teams are going through, understand those storylines. I love listening to my fellow Locked On podcast hosts because they give me ideas and understanding of what to expect when the Kings face their team. So that's why I'm very excited to play this collaborative interview for you today, as I will be joined by Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs here in just a second. Our conversation is going to dominate the podcast today, and there's going to be a lot in there that I'm going to want you to respond to. So be ready to respond. You can do so on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK or email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Let's not waste any more time. Here it is, my conversation, my collaboration with Jeff Garcia and Locked On Spurs.
Fans are excited. I know I am. I know you are, to have basketball back. But like you said, yeah, it's still, you know, weeks away. So it's kind of sort of around the corner. The scrimmage games, they're coming soon. Do not know if those are going to be televised. I doubt it. But nevertheless, hey, look, it's on the horizon. The light's in the tunnel. We'll have some basketball, and hopefully everything will go smoothly in Orlando and everybody stays safe and healthy. Matt, as you heard in the intro, Locked On Spurs has been previewing the bubble teams in the bubble. You see where I'm going with this? So these are the Western Conference teams that are fighting for their playoff lives. Yesterday, I got a chance to talk with Memphis Grizzlies, who are the current holders of the eighth seed. And let's just put it this way. Memphis, the host of Locked On Memphis, Mr. King over there, said that he's not worried about your Kings nor my Spurs. What are your thoughts on that?
I think he should be worried about the Kings, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the Spurs and your listeners, but I think he should be more concerned about the Kings than he would be about the Spurs, seeing as how LaMarcus Aldridge is not playing. Now, you understand how big of a gap that is and how much of a drop-off that's going to be for this team better than I do, so you can speak to that more. From my perspective here in Sacramento, I think the Suns and the Spurs are essentially out of it. And it is a four-team race between the Kings, the Pelicans, the Blazers, and the Grizzlies for that eighth spot. If for him to say that the Grizzlies shouldn't be concerned by the Sacramento Kings, I think that's absurd, seeing as how the Kings have beaten the Grizzlies three out of the four times played this year. De'Aaron Fox has absolutely dominated Ja Morant. The Kings are finally healthy. Now, I know the Grizzlies are healthy as well. And the Kings have just as good of a shot, in my opinion, as both the Blazers and the Pelicans to make it. Whether they will or not, that's a completely different conversation.
Yeah, you know, there was a team that the Grizzly host highlighted. It was the Pelicans.
Right.
That was a team that says, you know, it's kind of been on his radar as far as swiping away that a seed from Memphis. And it's not to say he discounted the Kings. You know, obviously he did, you know, give, you know, a hat tip to them. But at the end of the day, if the bubble field, if you will, it was the Pelicans number one for him as kind of a nail biter. He also threw out there the Suns as possible, just because they, you know, the young, you know, Devin Booker and kind of sort of match up with Memphis. But yeah, he really did have eyes on the Pelicans. And I think of all the teams in the field, it feels like the Pelicans are like the sexy pick right now. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Is it simply just because of Zion?
Absolutely. It's because of Zion. On top of that, I've actually said on my radio show on Sports 1140 KHDK here in Sacramento that Zion isn't even the best player on the Pelicans. He's not. He will eventually be most likely based off of his career trajectory and his expectations. But right now, Zion's not the best player on that team. Now, he's incredibly fun to watch. He's the future of the NBA in a lot of ways. And, of course, the NBA wants to see him into the playoffs because how cool would it be to see Zion and the Pelicans take on the Lakers, not to mention the Brandon Ingram storyline with that former Laker, the Lonzo Ball storyline with that former Laker. So there's obvious storylines there, not to mention the play-in game would be between the Grizzlies and the Pelicans. And that's number one, Zion versus number two, Ja Morant. So there's obvious storylines there. And on top of all of that, the Pelicans have one of the most, I'm not going to say easy schedules because that's not fair, but certainly one of the better looking or more prominent schedules in their favor compared to teams like the Grizzlies and the Kings and maybe even the Blazers to some extent. That being said, the Pelicans still have to get to the Kings a couple of times. And I firmly believe that had the season not stopped the night that it did, that night the Kings were getting ready to play the Pelicans in Sacramento and that would be a national TV game. And I understand a lot of people aren't paying attention to the Sacramento Kings. They have to earn that attention. But they were the second hottest team in basketball before the season came to a stop behind just the Los Angeles Lakers. They'd won 7 of their last 10 games. They were playing really well, and they were just that night supposed to get arguably their best player this season, Rashawn Holmes, starting center back. So the Kings have a lot to offer, and the Kings are definitely under the radar in a lot of ways, but I think people will be surprised by Sacramento's fight and the chances, the threat that they are to the Pelicans, to the Blazers, and even the Grizzlies to take that spot away.
You asked me earlier, you just threw it out there about the Spurs and your comment saying, the Suns and the Spurs are kind of in the background right now, might probably be not even talked about because of the situation. Now, to address that Spurs situation for your listeners, and you nailed it on the head, LaMarcus Aldridge gone. He's done for the season, shoulder surgery. So he will not be going to Orlando. That leaves a big hole. Now, I get it. He's not the LMA of Portland years, but he's still effective, a double-double guy that's gone. Another mid-range threat for the Spurs, gone. A guy that was developing a three-point shot and expanding that paint for guards like Murray and White, even to extend Keldon Johnson, who's expected to get some uptick in play in Orlando, gone. That leaves you with Jakob Poeltl, which is he's a great, good player, solid role player, but he's not LMA, nor is Trey Lyles, nor is Chimezie Metu if the Spurs want to go that route, or even Drew Eubanks, again, a couple of G leaguers. Or even Tyler Zeller, the recent acquisition ahead of Orlando games. So that's the big issue right now for the Spurs is how they're going to fill that void. It was already going to be tough enough for them to sneak into that A slot, considering there are 4 games out. But now you really put them in a bind now. The second best player arguably on the Spurs roster gone, leaving DeMar to shoulder a lot more of the load. Hopefully he'll get some help from other complimentary players. But yeah, the Spurs situation is not looking good. And look, Matt, they're saying the right things during these COVID video conference calls that we're having. You know, we're going to play our best. We're going to compete and everything. But it's kind of tough for them. It really is. You're talking about the schedule, Matt. The Spurs have Pelicans. They have your Kings, which we'll talk about in a bit. They got the Jazz a couple times. Denver, Philly is thrown in there too. All those guys and teams there, they're big teams. Jokic, Gobert, Embiid, your guys, they got some size on there too. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough out for the Spurs. Now, for the Kings, though, my question for you is, heading into the bubble in Orlando, what is the vibe of the team right now? Are they carrying any momentum from, I guess, I don't know how to say this, but before the break / stoppage into Orlando? Or is it kind of we have to hit the reset button?
They're trying to find a way to manufacture that success that they were having and translate it into this Orlando season restart, even though, you know, momentum is such a tricky thing, and it comes and goes with the wind in professional sports. So that's not exactly an easy thing to do. I actually asked Kings forward Kent Bazemore that exact question, and he told me it's something that a lot of people are concerned about, being able to continue that momentum. But his advice to the young guys was just don't be afraid to fail. And I think that's the whole idea, is the Kings are thrilled that they've been given this opportunity, that they haven't just been written off and the NBA just said, eight in the West, eight in the East, we're returning with the playoffs and that's it. The Kings are very excited to actually have a chance, and they firmly believe. Now, it's one thing for every single team during media day before a season starts will say, I think this is the playoff team. But in reality, we know which teams are for real and which teams are not. The Kings genuinely, truly believe that they have as good of a shot as anybody in this bubble to make the playoffs, and I don't think that's that far-fetched. Now, would I call them favorites? Absolutely not. I would clearly put Portland and the Pelicans in front of them, but you look at the schedule, the eight games that the Kings have to get through, all winnable games, nothing that is completely absurd. I think it's going to take the Kings going 6-2 to beat out the rest of the bubble teams and make that play-in tournament. That's a very tough ask. So I don't know if I necessarily put my money on it, Jeff, but I do feel confident that the Kings can actually pull it off compared to a couple of years ago where I would have said, man, they're just here to get eight games of experience and development for next year. And on top of that, these are, while they're not playoff games, they're basically mini playoff games, and they're providing experience for De'Aaron Fox, for Marvin Bagley, for Buddy Hield, that they haven't received yet. So even if the Kings don't, maybe they go 4-4 and they don't make the playoffs, these eight games are extremely important for the development of the young Kings stars for next season and beyond. So I the Kings are thrilled for this opportunity. They cannot wait to get out there and get started.
Yeah, and you look at the situation with the Spurs and the Kings, they're both chasing Grizzlies. You talked about the Kings play versus Grizz before the hiatus. The Spurs, it wasn't too good. I think they were 1-2 versus Memphis. And in that lone win, it took an offensive explosion of 145 points from San Antonio just to get the W. And that was with LaMarcus Aldridge. So you subtract that out, and, well, you can see where I'm going with this. Is not looking good for San Antonio heading into these eight-game regular season mad dash to what hopefully will be an NBA record 23rd time straight into the postseason for my Spurs. Now, you look at the Spurs and the Kings. We've kind of been touching on the rest of the field, at least at the bottom of the Western Conference heading into the Orlando games. Portland. Is that another team that's kind of getting overlooked too right now? I even sometimes forget that Portland is in and they're also fighting for that eighth seed.
I absolutely do think Portland's getting overlooked in a lot of ways. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised. I personally would put them as a favorite, even though the Pelicans are certainly that darling team that everybody seems to be paying attention to. Portland has guys that have been there before, and they have a bona fide megastar in Damian Lillard. We call it Dame time for a reason. And the biggest moments when it matters most, that's when Damian Lillard shines brightest. So I expect him to absolutely shine here. Now, we don't know how healthy the Trailblazers are. If they are completely healthy, getting Nurkic and Collins back, I think they actually will win that eighth seed and make it to the play-in tournament because, again, they have the experience. They've been there before. That being said, there is a very good chance that, let's say, they start out slow, miss a couple of games, and fall out of the race. Damian Lillard has already said, if the games aren't meaningful, I'm not playing. So let's say the Blazers go 1-3 through the first four games. Does Lillard sit out in the final four? What about CJ McCollum? Yeah. Do they decide to play it safe and rest their guys that have been dealing with injury issues and prepare for the quick turnaround for next season? I think that's very possible. But Portland has a lot to offer. And in their own way, they're sliding under the radar. Now, they haven't been as disrespected as I would say the Sacramento Kings have been. But all this attention on the Pelicans, I imagine Portland is paying attention to. They feel slighted, and they look forward to saying, "Nah, we're still the playoff team here. We're still the one with the megastar. We're the one that's going to make the most noise and take advantage of this situation."
On my end, I think it'd be a success if the Spurs just force that play-in tournament. I want them at least pull that, because I'm not dumb. I know they're going to drop a game here and there in Orlando,
sure,
simply because they're in demand. But if somehow, some way, they can will it just to that play-in tournament, whether it be against the Grizzlies, your Kings, whoever is sitting at that A seed at the end of the day, because I think it gives them a shot, because you got Popovich on that sideline.
Yep.
I think, you know, you can't count out the Spurs when that man is out there now. In what capacity he's going to be there, we don't know, because of his age and the NBA kind of being worried about the older coaches, staff heading out there. You know, just a quick aside, man, I have this envision that it'll be NFL style. Like they're like in some sort of a skybox at the arena and some luxury box, and they're just barking plays via a headset, kind of like offensive coordinators. And yeah, I mean, that's how I envision it. If, you know, Pop is not too comfortable, or any older personnel is out there saying, nah, you know, I'd rather be over here instead. My point is that Popovich, if anybody's going to get a team into that situation, at least force a play-in tournament, it would be him. You know, we're in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about your Kings and the Spurs in a bit. But looking at the field, is there a team out there that maybe has you and your Kings kind of biting their fingernails saying, you know what, this is a team that, man, we're going to have trouble with?
Are you talking in the bubble specifically, or just
in that chase for that AC? Is there a team like, you know, we got to get our W's, because these guys they're going to be coming for it?
I mean, the Kings have two matchups against the Pelicans, and those two games are going to be massive. So if they split those games 1-1, I think they have a chance. If they lose both those games, they're done. If they win both those games, I think the Kings will actually win their spot in that play-in tournament. So those games are going to be absolutely huge. But again, I have my eyes deadlocked on Portland, because there's a chance that the Kings and Pelicans can be busy fighting with each other, and then Portland could just swoop in and take it. And then I love what you said about the Spurs and Greg Popovich, because how many people over these last decades have lost money betting against the Spurs? And year after year, we go, man, the Spurs are done. Their window is closed. They can't make it. And somehow they find a way in. Now, this year, I think we would all agree that the San Antonio Spurs were not nearly what they have been. And maybe that window truly is closed now that Duncan, Manu, Parker, and that era has come to a close. But even with LaMarcus Aldridge out, you still have DeMar DeRozan, a bona fide all-star. Mm-hmm. You still have Rudy Gay, who Sacramento Kings fans know very well, very talented player. I love a lot of the pieces that San Antonio has, and they're only half a game behind the Kings. So I can't not necessarily sit here on my pedestal and say, no, Sacramento's definitely got a chance and the Spurs are done. I can say that about the Suns maybe, but I can't say that about San Antonio. And the reality is these are eight games in a short period of time, in a environment that nobody's ever seen before. Yeah. I think it was Kent Bazemore that said in an interview, and I love what Kent said here. He basically said it's not necessarily about the best team winning. It's about who can outlast their opponents. So there is a very good chance that the San Antonio Spurs can figure things out, get hot at the right time, put together 5 or 6 good games, go 5-3 or 6-2, and find their way in. I wouldn't count them out at all.
I'm glad you're giving them some respect, because the Locked On Grizzlies guy didn't really give anybody any Spurs or any respect whatsoever. But I get it. I get it. The Spurs are coming in busted up. You know, as mentioned, no LaMarcus Aldridge, erratic play during the regular season before the stoppage. Recall, the Spurs went on an 8-game losing streak. That was unprecedented in Popovich's tenure. So, yeah, I mean, I can see why a lot of outlets, other shows like our brother over there at Locked On Grizzlies, looking at the Spurs saying, yeah, you guys are there. Okay, good.
Well, we'll
take care of you guys. Yeah.
I also sympathize a little bit with the Grizzlies situation, because I think they're being disrespected as well. I mean, you look at the fact that there's a reason why they're the 8th seed right now, because they've played very well. I think they've played better than all of us expected them to play. They deserve to be in that position. Everybody is gushing over Zion and gushing over the Pelicans. Yeah. Zion's only played for a handful of games, while Ja Morant has been there the entire time and has been leading these Grizzlies to the spot that they're in today. Now, mm-hmm. I do know that Memphis has a very difficult schedule, but to suggest that Memphis isn't the favorite in a play-in tournament, I think is wrong. Even if they play the Kings, who the Kings have won 3 out of 4, because Memphis should, unless they really fall apart during these 8th games, they should have the very significant advantage of, in that play-in tournament, they only have to win once and they're in, even if they lose the first game. So that is a very good advantage for a very deserving Memphis team, who I think could make a lot of noise if they make it into the playoffs and into that opening round with the Lakers. Now, I'm not expecting them to win that series, but I think a Memphis Grizzlies team could give the Lakers some problems in their own way. Quick pause here as I take the time to thank our fantastic sponsor of today's Locked On Kings podcast, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, Pacifica, XT5, it is now impossible to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand that his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based off of what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Matt, you're looking at the schedule, and lo and behold, the Spurs and the Kings will face off to get things going for their respective 8-game slates in Orlando. Heading into this contest, I got to ask you a quick scouting report, a little bit of a check-in, if you will. Matt, any injuries? Everything cool with COVID? The team okay?
So as of right now, the Kings have 3 players that have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, all of them are not experiencing the symptoms, and from what we've been told, have been okay and will be joining the team well before this game between the Kings and the Spurs happened. But those 3 players are Buddy Hield, Alex Len, and Jabari Parker. Of course, Hield, a very important piece of this team. Alex Len has stepped into a pretty prominent role for Sacramento, with Marvin Bagley being out and missing so much time with injury. And then Jabari Parker is he's part of the roster. Who knows if he's going to get time or not. But they expect to be fully healthy, which is a big deal by this game. And that includes Marvin Bagley. Now, there still are a lot of questions that we need answered when it comes to the Sacramento Kings, particularly with Marvin Bagley. I think it's a pretty universal understanding or belief that Bagley is not going to be starting, and rightfully so. He shouldn't. He's played in only a handful of games this season. But Marvin Bagley, completely healthy, playing 20 to 25 minutes off the bench, along with Buddy Hield and Kent Bazemore in that second unit, that gives the Kings a lot of offensive firepower with their second unit. So De'Aaron Fox and that Kings starting 5 have the opportunity to maybe exhaust you, tire you out with the fast pace that they like to play at.
Right.
And quick substitution, in comes the firepower of Buddy Hield, the physicality and scoring around the rim of Marvin Bagley, the hard screen setting of Alex Len. So the Kings have a lot of depth, which is really exciting and something they haven't really been able to take advantage of at all this season because of the amount of injuries they dealt with. Marvin Bagley out the first game of the year. Rashawn Holmes has missed time. De'Aaron Fox has missed time. This is hypothetically going to be the first time since the first half of game 1 of the season that the Kings have been fully healthy. So we'll get a better idea of how good this team can be. And I think that's going to lead to maybe some problems for NBA scouts, not knowing what exactly the Kings are when they're fully healthy, because we don't even know what they look like.
Well, for your listeners, the Spurs are obviously going to be without LaMarcus Aldridge. That is well known. No COVID, at least the Spurs are not reporting any COVID impact to any player or staff.
That's great.
So that's good. Also, no injuries outside of LMA. The closest was maybe Jakob Poeltl, but he's been pain-free for the past 2 months, according to him. And just a quick rehash, he had banged up his knee right before the stoppage. He was out a couple of games when then the hiatus happened. So during the hiatus, he healed up, so he's raring to go. Looking at the Spurs heading into the 8-game slate and, of course, your Kings in that opening game, if they're going to go young, which means they might go a little small because of Lonnie Walker, Keldon Johnson, DeMar DeRozan, and I know he's not young, but you know they'll trot him out, then I think that might present an issue because they didn't get significant time experience on the court during the regular season. Pop relied heavily on the veterans, even to Spurs fans, much to their chagrin, because there are times out there he's trotting out lineups of Bryn Forbes and Marco Bellinelli. Doesn't do good for you defensively. That's the biggest issue before the stoppage was the Spurs defensively. Defensively, they were the pits, man. Matt, they were near the bottom. They were letting teams just score on them almost at will, blowing leads, couldn't hang on to them. That was an issue. Now, without LaMarcus Aldridge, I think the Spurs are now, and Popovich is now forced to perhaps dip into that youth. Your Lonnie Walker, Derek White's, Keldon Johnson, don't know how deep he'll go, but Popovich is a guy that relies on vets. So I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of reins those guys in and opts for players on his roster that have been under these type of situations, these pressure situations where the Spurs, they know their playoff lives are on the line. Why? And I can see Pop saying this. Why am I going to trust the kids when I got veterans that have been there and done that, even international levels like your Patty Mills? So I think you're going to see a mix heading into the games and against your Kings. Wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, goes and reverts back to his veteran heavy lineups because of the Spurs situation. Matt, they cannot afford even to split the first two games. I mean, their margin of error is so slim. If they go 1-1, they're hanging on by a thread. If they go 2-0, good. You know, they're still on full life support and full battery charge. But against your Kings, if we look at the regular season, I believe the Spurs and Kings went 1-1.
Yes.
And in that one game, though, Matt, it was a nail biter with the Spurs getting a 105-104 win. I mean, it was, you know, by a hair. Looking at the regular season series between the two teams, is there something that worries you about the Spurs heading into the first game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, beyond the fact that they're coached by Greg Popovich.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually think that the veteran presence of San Antonio plays into their favor when it comes to a matchup against Sacramento. If Popovich were going to try and go small and go with the younger guys, I think that plays right into Sacramento's hands because Sacramento wants to play small themselves, wants to move Harrison Barnes to the four, maybe have Marvin Bagley playing the five at times, a lineup of Bogdanovich playing the three and Buddy Hield playing the two with De'Aaron Fox. The Kings like the idea of playing small. Luke Walton has shown a desire to do that. And of course, when the Kings play small, they typically play fast and up-tempo, and they can score a lot of points quickly, speaking to those defensive issues that the San Antonio Spurs have had. But they do have issues dealing with very smart players. So you look at Rudy Gay, you look at DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. Patty Mills. These are guys that typically give the Kings fits, even if they're not scoring 25 points a game. So honestly, I would expect the Spurs to go a little more veteran heavy against Sacramento, as that would give them their best chance to win. Those veterans do concern me as a Kings follower, media member, and of course supporter. But I remember that game that San Antonio beat Sacramento it was in San Antonio, and it was off of a Marco Bellinelli game-winning three where Buddy Hield just absolutely left him wide open for no reason. Yeah. So the Kings have defensive woes themselves, but played with a lot of confidence against San Antonio this year. They've had a lot of success, believe it or not, against DeMar DeRozan in DeMar's entire career, going all the way back to when he was with the Toronto Raptors. Sacramento, for some reason, with that DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry 1-2 punch in Toronto, Sacramento always had success against them. So I don't know how much that will play into this entire situation. But you mentioned the fact that if the Spurs split their first two games, they will be hanging on from a threat or by a thread. Yeah. It's a very similar thing with Sacramento. I'll go as far as to say this. If the Kings lose to San Antonio to open up this 8-game stretch, they're done. Truly. That is an absolute must-win game for Sacramento. They cannot afford to fall behind, especially when they have two meetings with the Pelicans coming up, when they have a meeting with Houston, a meeting with Dallas, a meeting with the Lakers. This is one of the most winnable games on the schedule other than the Orlando game. They have to win this game, and they expect to win this game. So the Kings losing to the San Antonio Spurs to open up this tournament would be a colossal failure in my mind for Sacramento.
Likewise, I think the Spurs are looking at this first game versus the Kings as a must-win and winnable on their schedule.
Sure.
The Spurs are coming into that, and I think that your Kings have to do that, and the Spurs have to do that. They have to come into that mindset that, you know, and not just necessarily the first game, but every game is vital for these few teams that are looking on the outside in, chasing that AC down the West. One player that worries the hell out of me on your roster is the obvious Buddy Hield. I mean, what he did versus the Spurs during the regular season in two games. Look at that last game before the hiatus. He dropped, 23 points and 7 rebounds. Then he followed that up in that first meeting with 31 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. And then you add the fact, too, that it took a Bellinelli miracle and Buddy Hield brain lock to get a win. Yeah, maybe I'm not coming into this game fully confident that, you know, Spurs, you know, should beat the Kings. I'm expecting a slugfest between these two teams. I really am. And I agree with you. I think Pop was going to rely on the vets in the opening game. He has to set the tone. He cannot say, okay, it's the first game, guys, and let me get Keldon Johnson out there, Lonnie Walker, and Jakob Poeltl. You know, I can't see him doing that. I don't expect him doing that, putting that kind of lineup together. I expect a very heavy veteran presence in that opening game, and they're gonna have to just take it from there. I also believe that a loss to your Kings, it will be, you know, just a gut punch. It'll be a near TKO. But I do believe the Spurs, if any team can rally from even a 0-1 start, I think this is, they can, this Popovich team can, and we've seen it before. Here's another thing too that I think you'll find interesting heading into the first game, Matt, is that DeMar DeRozan, during the first Zoom conference we had with the Spurs, said how much this team is confident heading into the bubble. Why? Because how they were playing before the hiatus, They were coming on already. They were looking like the Spurs, like, yeah, okay, this is the Popovich-led team. They went out there and just gave it to the Dallas Mavericks right before the break. They were being very competitive and not getting blown out of the water as they were during the regular season leading up to the hiatus. DeMar DeRozan said that they are right there, that they were finally getting it. They were starting to click, and then the hiatus happened. So I'm expecting that type of mindset heading into the game versus Sacramento. I the obvious, though, you know, I got to ask, and I know what your answer is going to be. How do you see this game going down? What do you think the final score will be? And will your Kings advance with a W?
I think they will. I think the Kings recognize the importance of this game. I do think they are favorites in this game just based off of everything, not just their place in the standings. And because of that LaMarcus Aldridge injury, had Aldridge been healthy, I think the Kings would not have been the favorite, even though I do think the Kings would have still had a great chance to win that game. Sacramento, all I can speak towards is their desperation and the importance of this game. I think this is going to be a ugly basketball game in a lot of ways. I mean, it's the first real competitive game, excluding the scrimmages, but those don't really count. It's going to be an ugly game where both teams are very aware of what's on the line. They haven't played together too much over the last few months, so I think there's going to be a lot of turnovers. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be back and forth. And the faster this game is played, the more it plays in the favor of Sacramento. I do worry about San Antonio's veterans being able to calm their team down quicker than the Kings are able to calm themselves down. And if that's the case, the Spurs could actually build a gap and be able to maybe pull away from Sacramento and force the Kings to play catch up. And historically, when the Kings have to play catch up, they fall behind. Now, I will say, if the Kings get off to a great start, and if the Kings are able to build a 12 to 15 point lead, let's say in the first half of this game, San Antonio should absolutely not hang their heads, because the Kings are notorious for letting their opponents back into games. It's been something that's plagued them for 13 freaking years. So if I was speaking to Spurs fans, I maybe don't expect to fall behind early, but if you do, there will be a chance for you to get back in this game. That being said, I expect Sacramento to win it just because of the importance they have, the desperation that they're playing with, the fact that they're completely healthy, and how they were playing before the break. But I don't think it's at all absurd to say no, San Antonio could win this game, because it's anybody's ballgame.
I'm the opposite. If I had to tell your listeners, is if you see the Spurs build a lead, expect them likely to blow it. I saw that, and Spurs fans saw it time after time during the regular season, building up these double-digit figure leads when they see it evaporate late in the second half. So if I had to give a tip to your listeners and your fans, is, hey, don't hang your head too low if you see the scoreboard Spurs up 12 or 15 heading into the second half of the third quarter or something like that, because this team notoriously blew leads. They were getting better. Their defense was getting slightly better towards the hiatus, but it still was an issue. So all in all, I do agree. I think it's going to be a slugfest, and I didn't think about the ugliness of it. I think all these teams, not just your Kings and Spurs, they're going to be rusty, and I think we expect that. But I think those are the games where the Kings and the Spurs and the rest of the field are going to have to capitalize on, is who's coming in sharper, who is coming in with a better mindset, who's coming in primed and ready. And you take it from there, and you cross your fingers, and you hope that these West teams that are looking the outside in, chasing that A seed, do their best. So we'll see what happens in just a few weeks. First of all, you want to tell everybody how they can reach out to you, at least my listeners, you know, and tune in to what is going on with the Kings in case they want to do a little scouting report ahead of the bubble games.
Absolutely. And I absolutely encourage that. And I encourage that for my own listeners as well. In fact, I say it as much as I can. One of the best parts about the Locked On Podcast Network is the fact that you do get, in similar formats, a podcast, a local podcast, for every single one of these teams. And I encourage you to always go and listen to the podcasts of your opposition, because it'll give you a better appreciation and understanding for what those teams are going through, and more importantly, how they view your team. You can learn a lot from how other people and other teams view your squad that you're covering. One of my favorite things that I have the opportunity to do is when opposing radio broadcast teams come to Sacramento, at times I get to work with them as a lead statistician. And I'm a part of their broadcast team for a night. So I wear their headset, I hear their calls, I listen to their storylines, and it opens my mind up to what they're going through, what their players are experiencing, how their season has been, and most importantly, how they view the Sacramento Kings. So always encourage Spurs listeners to come on over to Locked On Kings and get an idea of what the Kings are doing. We try to have as much fun as we possibly can. I'm opinionated. I have a lot of guests, but we always keep it centered around Sacramento and basketball and the joys and the love that we have for the game. So you can find that with Locked On Kings consistently. You can also find me on Twitter and interact with me at any time. I'd love to chat with you about the Spurs and the Kings privately if you'd like. You can reach out to me on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK, tweet me publicly, DM me privately. Even if we don't follow each other, my DMs are open, so please reach out there. We'd love to have conversations with you. I encourage the Locked On Kings listeners, listen to Locked On Spurs, listen to Locked On Pelicans, pay attention to all these storylines going into this tournament so you're very informed, and you can do your own homework as well, as you best believe Luke Walton and the Kings are doing.
Exactly, and I couldn't follow that up more than what Matt just did. So basically, Locked On Spurs, exactly what Matt said. Make sure to check in what he is, you know, putting out there. I'll give you the, again, the pulse of the Kings heading into the bubble games. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We're covering everything right now, and we're focusing on the bubble teams. As you know, we did Grizzlies yesterday, had to start with them. They're the current holders of the eighth seed. So starting to go down that line. And I figure what better way to follow that show up than talk with the Kings, which would be the first opponent for San Antonio. Final thoughts heading into not only the bubble situation in Orlando, Matt, but that first game versus San Antonio.
I think both the Kings and the Spurs have a lot to prove. But I do believe that both teams are capable of proving it. I can only speak really towards the Sacramento Kings, so I will one more time. The Kings have been absolutely disrespected by the national media, by ESPN. The fact that on their schedule release show, they talked about every single bubble team and didn't even mention the Sacramento Kings other than having a little highlight package for them. The Ringer has put out multiple articles completely writing the Kings off. ESPN did an article a few weeks ago before the schedule came out talking about the bubble race. The Kings weren't even mentioned in that, even though they are tied with the Pelicans and tied with the Blazers and half a game ahead of the Spurs. So Sacramento is being disrespected. Now, they do have to earn that respect, so I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing it out that you should not write this team off because they have enough talent and they have enough firepower to get hot at the right time and put it all together. That being said, it's going to be an uphill climb for them. It's going to be an uphill climb for San Antonio. And most importantly, for all of us, regardless of what team we support, basketball will be back. These games will be meaningful, incredibly entertaining and exciting. And I can absolutely not wait for basketball to tip off again at Walt Disney World in Orlando.
Same thing for the Spurs. Spurs are getting discounted quite a bit. You look at any power ranking headed into the Orlando game, Spurs are at near bottom. I get it. I understand why. Even the Spurs fan base is kind of saying, yeah, we get it. But if there's a team out there that can shock the world and once again put people saying, how the hell did they do it again? It's going to be the Spurs. So do not discount the San Antonio Spurs led by Greg Popovich.
Big thank you to Jeff Garcia and Locked On Spurs. It was a lot of fun joining him for that collaborative preview of this eight-game sprint, not just for the Kings and for the Spurs, but also for the rest of the teams in the bubble. It's going to be a fun, exciting, crazy race. I think the Spurs do absolutely have a chance, as I do think the Kings have an even better chance. So we'll just have to wait and see. I know there's plenty in there that you want to respond to, so remember to do so on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can tweet me privately or publicly there, or you can email me at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Kings. As always, stay safe, have yourself a fantastic weekend, and I'll talk to you soon. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.